Hello. Peace be with you. This is Reverend Lindsay again with the meditation part of our virtual worship podcast for April 19th, 2020, the second Sunday of Easter. Welcome, or welcome back if you've just been listening to part one, our scripture readings for today. If you did, you heard a story from John's Gospel, John's Good News. Well, good news is in short supply these days, and people are coping with that in different ways, with varying levels of success. Some are watching the news practically 24/7, following each graft, each update, each glimmer of hope, each note of despair. Others are totally addicted to lighter fare on YouTube and TikTok and Netflix. People are baking bread for the first time in their lives, or going full-on artsy-craftsy. Most of you are probably like me, trying to navigate your way through, keeping abreast of the news to stay informed, stay connected, but also trying not to get overwhelmed by the headlines, trying to balance knowledge with self-care, trying not to fall headfirst into the rabbit hole of depression. It's kind of like the way those of us who do go outside on occasion try to navigate down the sidewalk. If we see someone up ahead, we move as far to one side as we can, maybe even into the carless street to avoid violating someone's space. I look with suspicion at people not wearing masks, not looking where they're going. I really try not to be judgmental, but I struggle. I constantly walk the line between getting exercise or groceries and keeping out of harm's way, the line between safety and fear. So I think of those early disciples. For them, too, fear was in the air. One of the inner circle, had betrayed Jesus to the authorities. All of them had betrayed Jesus by denying him or running away. Now, who knew who might betray them? I wonder if they judged each other. I'm sure they looked with suspicion at everyone they passed. And so they decided it made them less anxious to just hunker down behind locked doors. Even there, though, they're unsettled, unsure, scared. Nothing makes sense anymore. They feel so isolated, so alone. And God knows what the future would hold. And the weird thing is, they had already gotten good news. The women had told them. One woman, two women, three, depending on the version. But at least one woman had told them, Christ is alive. Plus, according to John, at least two of these guys had seen the empty tomb themselves. Mary Magdalene had announced to them, I have seen the Lord. But still, she hadn't understood, really, until Jesus actually appeared to her. And even then, she mistook him for the gardener, till he called her name. And then she knew him. She had to see, to hear for herself. Then she believed. Jesus sent her off to tell the others. But they hadn't seen what she had, so maybe it only frightened them more. Resurrection? From the dead? Whoa! So yeah, they went inside and locked the door. But Jesus came anyway. Appeared suddenly in their midst, which, granted, was perhaps not the most reassuring entrance. Peace be with you, the risen Christ said. unasked, he showed them his wounds. And he told them he was sending them into the world just like his heavenly parent had sent him. They saw for themselves. Then they believed. And then he breathed on them. Having shown them, having told them, he touched them, not with his hands, but with his breath. You just think about how close you have to get to someone to breathe on them. It's more intimate than flesh touching flesh, in a way. Especially these days. We may get relatively close to someone if we have to, but we dare not breathe on them. We pray they don't breathe on us. Jesus breathes on the disciples. He violates their space and breathes the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, right onto them. And they believe. They do. But the next week finds them right back where they started, still barricaded behind closed doors, still hiding, still frightened. Meanwhile, they told poor Thomas about it. For whatever reason, he hadn't been there. Maybe he was the designated shopper that day. So when he heard about it, he just wanted what they'd gotten. The way the risen Jesus called Mary's name, the way he showed the others his wounds, Thomas wanted to see for himself. Can you blame him? It's a pretty wild story, after all. But even more, I imagine, he longed for the experience they'd had. And he longed to touch his friend. And Jesus shows up, as Thomas hoped he would. Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." Then, funnily enough, he doesn't say, "What's this I hear, Thomas? O ye of little faith, you want to see and touch my wounds? Seriously?" No. Jesus just says, "Look, touch. Do not doubt, but believe." In other words, don't you recognize me? Do you want to know who I am? Here are my wounds. I'm no ghost, no dream. I am the one who gave himself for you. And I have been raised for you. Go ahead, touch me. Well, we don't know if Thomas touched Jesus or not. All we know is he'd seen for himself, and it was enough. Enough to bring the stunned cry to his lips, "My Lord and my God." You know, perhaps now more than ever, I get the disciples' fear and the so-called doubt of Thomas. I get their need for reassurance, their longing for certainty, and their nostalgia for the way things were back in that upper room where they all used to gather in happier times, so hopeful, so sure, so naive, maybe. I'm glad to have the disciples for companions as I negotiate my way through this COVID-19 valley. But now more than ever, I am drawn to the wounded body of Christ, raised up from the grave, but still bearing the marks of his suffering and death, endured for us. It's a sad but somehow comforting image of that raised and wounded body. It makes me think of the suffering servant of Isaiah, who, it said, bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises, we are healed. I've been thinking about how wounded we all are now. Some of us in obvious ways, all of us, I think, in ways we cannot yet comprehend. This pandemic and its aftermath will take its toll. And it will be a while, even once we're unpaused, as the Gov says, living in a new normal. It will take a while to feel safe, to feel at ease in the world, the way we once did. But the fact is, already, even before this, we've all borne indelible marks of hardship and sorrow, marks of joy, too, on our bodies and our souls. They are part of who we are. Like our Savior himself, we are the walking wounded. But, like him, we are also the resurrected wounded, raised in him to new life, here and now. Resurrection life, abundant life, accompanied always by our risen Savior. I can't see him like the first disciples did, but those wounds of his make him real to me the way unblemished perfection never could. We haven't seen him. Yet he is close enough to breathe on us, close enough to touch, close enough to bind up our wounds and heal our broken hearts and send us forth wounded and whole, awestruck and rejoicing, to proclaim his love to a scared and wounded world. Wounded, but breathing. Wounded, but living. May his peace be with you. May sharing it bring you his joy. And to God alone be the glory. Amen. Alleluia. Amen.